Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Now today we're going to hear a little bit more about the recent ICHA soccer tournament, as well as some other amazing speakers. First up, the story of a young student at St. Clair College who's been dealing with some mental health issues while she pursues her education. Cam Wells here with
Carly Rock.
She's going to be telling me a little bit about some of her recent struggles, how it's impacted her mental health and her ongoing learning journey as a student with a disability. So, what can you tell me about what's been happening lately?
Well, lately I've been all over the place with my mental health and my personal struggles and my academic life. And not to sound like a complete broken record, but I've been doing kind of good on the academic forefront. I've been doing ACE English here at St. Clair College. I ended up doing CEP math. Been doing kind of good in ACE English, math. Not so much, but I'm working on it. And as far as my mental health, working on it, it's been a work in progress. Some days are really, really good where I'm happy, happy, happy. And there are days where I have to take maybe a day or two off just to really work on my own self, then maybe help other people.
So, what have you found to be the most effective coping strategy on the rough days?
Well, everybody's different when it comes to anxiety and depression. For me, I only get waves of depression and anxiety. And for me, it's really just talking to people. Oh, and maybe taking maybe a day off to really focus on what is really going on deep down, what's causing it. And maybe I'll listen to music, I'll maybe read an article of what's going on in the news and all that other stuff. But mostly just talking to people.
So, can you tell me a little bit about supports around you? Have your friends and family been a good support system for you?
My friends and family are pretty good. I'll talk to my friends at school about stuff like this, and they have similar situations. That's where they've gone through mental health issues in their past, and they'll tell me stuff that went on in their life, as whether it was in the past or recently, and I just know that I am not alone. And my family are really good. They'll either crack joke to either ease the tension a little bit, and that'll help a little bit sometimes.
So, if you could send any message to the students out there struggling with mental health issues and trying to make it through the rough days, what would you say?
All I can say is you are definitely not alone. I have waves of depression. Some people are better, keep going and helping themselves through that those days. Some people are not and just need more help than others. You just need to know that you are not alone. They are resources from Windsor and other parts of Canada that will help you. Oh, and you just need to like find those resources and help other people around you that may be struggling with you.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Oh, no problem.
In this segment of our show, I'll be interviewing Kyle Vose from the ODSP Action Coalition.
The Coalition? The ODSP Action Coalition?
Yes.
So the ODSP Action Coalition has been around since 2003. It started out after the family benefits was changed to ODSP, and there was a lot of legal clinics out there that were having high caseloads of people being denied this new ODSP program, or Ontario Disability Support Program. And so what they did was they decided to come together, all these different legal clinics, and see about how they could figure out what was going on and how to best advocate for changes to this program. And what ended up happening was they created, realized that, oh, maybe they had something there, and they created this ODSP Action Coalition. And it was a coalition mainly of agencies working with people with disabilities. Later on, they would hold conferences and that, and a lot more people with disabilities started getting involved with the coalition. And so at one of the conferences, the terms of references were changed that it would include people with lived experience. And so we had a shared leadership model. So what for every agency chair, there would be a recipient co-chair. And so that way we're making sure that we're not excluding the voices of those that are living with disabilities in this work, and that they have the number one foot forward in speaking about the issues that are going on and how to advocate in that. And then basically what we do is we have the general coalition where new members can come and hear about different topics. Sometimes we bring in speakers to talk about different issues that are going on, or we're talking about campaigns that we're doing, things like that. And then we have our different committees. For example, we have a public awareness and advocacy committee, and then we have a policy committee, and we have an earnings and employment committee. And basically the earnings and employment is talking about, you know, the clawback and volunteering and working and deductions and stuff like that. Our policy is talking about any time the government, for example, is going to change a program or change a policy. And then so they look at the policy and review it. We have quite a few legal clinics work on that committee. And then once they create a paper, we call it our paper or our policy or our piece, then we send it to the Public Awareness and Advocacy Committee. And then that's the committee where we broadcast and get out into the community and advertise what we're doing and get petitions signed and meet with the government. Now, with this new government, we haven't really met with. They haven't seemed to meet with many people, as we can see from other areas of the government, that they're not consulting with many people. But the previous governments, we were able to meet, and we were able to save things like the special diet, and we were able to save like the work-related benefit. And when the government got from the Auditor General that they weren't doing enough medical reviews and the medical review process was flawed, we were able to sit on a committee and work on making changes to that medical review process, which is already implemented by the previous government. And so just doing things like that and advocating for, like, you know, zero clawback on child back support and advocating when the government wants to make changes, we're the voice of the people to say, no, this is not what you should be doing, and we try to create our own, this is what you should be doing.
So, are there any challenges in getting the word out about a changed program and getting the public rallied behind support for those with disabilities?
Oh, yes, of course, because, I mean, if you're in bigger cities, people are a little more connected. They have more access to Wi-Fi. They have more access to libraries and things like that. But when we think about it and we hear from people on the outskirts, you know, or other parts of the province where they're not so fortunate to have a transportation system that can take them to a library as easy, right? And so they don't have access to this information. They don't have access to groups. So, for example, if you're in a big city, you can go to your local food bank. Usually, you know, it might be walking distance, and they might have a group there that you can connect with. And so that would be a way of them being accessing information or learning about what's going on. But people in the rural part of the province aren't getting this information out there, or not everybody has access to internet, right? And so that's a huge issue. And then there's also the stigma that's attached to being a person with a disability, and also the added stigma of being a person that's reliant on this ODSP or program.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the Action Coalition, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Yeah, we had quite a few. Like, the special diet was one where the government wanted to take away that special diet, which is a maximum $250. And it was already set out that they were going to do that. The work-related benefit was another one that they were determined that they were going to change the program. They announced it to the public, and this is what we're going to do. And we got it changed. We got it reversed, and we were able to stop that change. And when we went to the government, it was mainly people with disabilities that were sitting at that meeting. And we would have like 20 or 30 minutes allotted to us. And a lot of times, because we were people with disabilities, they were seeing that we were talking, and so we needed a little more time. And they were like, that's okay, take more time. And they wanted to ask more questions. And so we felt very heard by that government. So there is some great victories that we have. And even the fact that we are able to go out into the community, one thing I forgot to mention is one thing we also do is we have presentations that we can give. So, and our conferences, we instead of being a provincial where people are coming to Toronto, we're now offering it up across the province. And so we have presentations like Knowing Your Benefits, because many times being on ODSP, you're not given an opportunity to learn what the benefits are and how to apply and why you get denied. And so we have an actual presentation that we can give from lived experience on how to survive this program and how to make this program work for you.
So if you could send any message to the community about why your work is important, why these people should be represented, what would you say?
I would just say the fact that nobody wakes up one day and says, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to be a person with a disability. I think I'm going to have diabetes, or I think I'm going to have cancer, or I think I'm going to have Alzheimer's. Nobody wakes up and says that, right? And so this benefit is supposed to be there for those that need it the most. And if we're not standing up and speaking for those that need it the most, when it's our turn and we need it, it's not going to be there for us. And so if we're not making a change now, a positive change to this program, then it's not going to be there for those that need it in the future. And if we really want to make a difference and change poverty in this province and bring this province out of poverty, then we need to make sure that no person's left behind, right? And this is one of the most vulnerable communities in our province that we have.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd
sure,
be great.
Sure, of course. No problem. My pleasure.
Now, before we get to the commercial, thought we'd hear from one of the coaches in the recent ICHA soccer tournament. Cam Wells here with
Alan May,
who's going to be telling us a little bit about South Simcoe's role in today's soccer tournament. So what led you to come back for this year's event?
Thanks, Cam. We've been come to Simcoe Classics. Have been coming here for 18 years. This is our 18th year. And we just enjoy coming. This is the only thing we do. We're not Special Olympics. We raise our own money to come, and we raise money and come just to this. We don't play any other time. So we love it. So we have two teams, C and D.
So can you tell me a little bit about the initiatives you go through to raise the money to be here?
We've tried raffles. That didn't go so well. We have a lady from a volunteer where she works with volunteers, and she volunteers her hours and gives us that. So that helps us pay for the rental of the field house through the year.
So there are trainings and practices that go on for these athletes throughout that time.
Yes.
And what's been the greatest success you've seen since you've been coming to the tournaments?
The greatest success, because I coach the D team, is to see the Ds that I've seen, how they've advanced. Even if they don't score a goal, the way they can handle the ball instead of just watching it, I've really seen a change in that. It's been awesome.
So if you could send any message to the community about why events like this matter, what would you say?
Oh, they truly matter, because you don't hear a lot of them. This is ICHA that sponsors this, and I sponsor that down where I am, near Barrie. And you guys are a community that allows us to come here. And I wish there was more of them, but it's only this that we have, because we're non-Special Olympics. So we rely on this.
So for the future, do you see yourselves coming back
year after year?
Well, Cam, you got me on a year that I'm retiring. I'm not going to be coming back. I've been here 18 years, but the other teams may. The trouble is we need young people. We're getting older. The players are getting older. But the younger coaches may come back. We hope so.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Good. Thanks.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hey, University of Windsor students. Do you have late classes? Are you new in town or just feel nervous or unsafe when walking alone? Download the Safe Lancer app and use FriendWalk. FriendWalk lets you send your location in real time to a friend so they make sure you get to your destination safely. If you or your friend suspects you are in danger, either of you can trigger a call to emergency services. When you reach your destination, finish your trip and disconnect safely. A message brought to you by the University of Windsor Campus Police Services. The Safe Lancer app is available for Android and Apple devices.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from St. Clair student Carly Rock and Kyle Vose from the ODSP Action Coalition, as well Alan May, a coach at the recent ICHA soccer tournament. Segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Kristen Schramer, who will be giving us a bit of an update on the recent Turner's happenings. So what can you tell me?
Hi, Cam. Well, right now, the big thing that we're currently working on is the 38th annual conference for the Turner Syndrome Society of Canada, which is going to be in Niagara Falls, Ontario this year.
So do you expect it to be similar or different than years past, what with the 30th anniversary celebration?
So I think we have a wonderful program lined up. So typically for our annual conferences, we have the program segmented into kind of specific categories for things like children and teens, and then parents and adults for Turner syndrome, so that the program can be more kind of specialized to topics that may be of interest to those groups. So for the children's and teens, we have some wonderful activities like going to the Ripley's Believe It or Not museum that's in the area, as well as a trip to the Niagara Falls Butterfly Conservatory. And for parents and adults with Turner syndrome, we have some wonderful informational sessions where they'll be talking about things like nonverbal learning disability, body positivity, IEP, so individual education plans, talking a little bit about issues related to fertility challenges that may be experienced in Turner syndrome, and even a panel on topics such as sex and relationships. So there's a lot of really good topics this year, and also sessions related to cardiac issues and other kind of general health issues that typically coincide with Turner syndrome. So a lot of really good information this year. Good panels.
So it's interesting when you mention about individual education plans. I was going to ask, do you think the education system as a whole is well enough versed when it comes to Turner syndrome? Or what should they know about it?
I definitely think that because not a lot of people do know about Turner syndrome and the challenges that may come along with it in relation to the educational system. So, for example, I did mention nonverbal learning disorder is quite common in Turner syndrome, that I do think that promoting increased awareness within the educational system about Turner syndrome and kind of what corresponds with it is really important. And in regards to that, I do know that Shan Johnson, who is one of our members in the Windsor group, has actually done things like meeting with the education department at the University of Windsor to try and promote more awareness and figure out ways that we can begin to provide increased awareness of Turner syndrome within the education system. So I do think that that is something that is currently is lacking, and we're definitely trying to promote more awareness.
So when you reach out to the education system and to other groups, how is the community support and their response? Do you find they're eager to learn?
I would say the community is very responsive. So I don't know. I think a lot of it is just lack of awareness. And so we find that when we do approach either, let's say, education, like individuals who are part of the education system or the healthcare system or other groups, and we're working on awareness issues, we find that they're very supportive. They want to learn more. And they're very willing to meet with us to learn more about Turner syndrome and how it may impact the individuals that are a part of their life that may have Turner syndrome. So maybe students or patients that they're working with, or just people in their own lives, who friends and family members. So we find that the community support is actually very high. People are very willing to meet with us and want to learn more, which is very encouraging and, is wonderful.
So with the upcoming conference, as you look back on some of the others, is there any success story that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. Every conference is a little bit different, but what you notice when you go to these conferences is just kind of the sense of community of people coming together. And even recently with the conferences in Toronto 2 years ago and the conference in Edmonton last year, we have quite a good turnout, 125 to 150 people, which when you consider, kind of the proportion of individuals with Turner syndrome, to the size of the population in Canada, that is such a good and wonderful turnout, especially when you're considering people sometimes are traveling from the other side of the country to attend these conferences. So each conference, I think, is a success story in terms of promoting awareness, building that sense of community, and allowing women with Turner syndrome and parents of girls with Turner syndrome to really connect. And also to learn together in a way where we can promote learning with each other instead of trying to handle all and take in all that information on our own.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cam.
Of course.
This is Cam Wells here with
Kieran Joyce.
And this is his first time at the ICHA soccer tournament. Tell me a little bit about some of your thoughts on it so far.
I'm enjoying it so far right now. The people here are amazing, friendly, easy to get along with.
So what led you to want to be here today?
Just as experience, honestly. I like seeing new people, experiencing new faces, smiles.
Were there any challenges in arranging to get here?
Oh, God, yeah. There's a lot, you know. It takes a lot to to get up to where you go, so.
Well, have you seen any success moments here so far?
I would for sure say yes. I've been in soccer for about 3 years now, and I've enjoyed every bit of it, so.
Very nice. So, for the future, do you see yourself coming back and participating again?
Oh, God, you're every year. I'll do this sport until I die, pretty well. Or until my own 2 feet can't take me anymore.
So, if you could tell the community why it is events like this matter, what would you say?
Just get out, you know? don't give up on your dreams, you know. Don't let people bring you down, and don't let people put a sour face on your body, you know. Get up and go, 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 and do what you want to do.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Anytime.
This is Cam Wells here with
Justin McNichol.
He's going to be telling me a little bit about his insights into this year's ICHA soccer tournament. So, how did you find this year's event?
I actually liked it. There was a bunch of great teams. I liked the new team that we had here today. Everybody played well. Yeah.
So, I understand you've been coming here a number of years.
Yes.
What's been the best aspect of that?
Hanging out with friends and new friends, old friends.
So, do you find there's a lot of community support for events like this?
There is, actually, and I enjoy having the time to hang with the people in different parts of the country and different other special needs people. So I like it.
So if you could see anything added to the tournament here, what would it be?
A little bit more teams.
And what would you tell the community about why events like this are important?
Why?
Yeah.
I think more events gives people, you know, more idea about special needs people can do most things like regular people. I also think that it is more awareness for special needs people.
Very much.
You're welcome.
The big question to me today, folks, comes from Kristen's interview about the education system. Brings to mind the question, is education ever truly complete? Noah Wiley once said, there's always something more to learn. I think he was right, in so much as these educators should keep up to date and informed of the types of students they might be running into. Maybe it'll be somebody with an invisible learning disability. Maybe it'll be somebody with Turner syndrome. But no matter what, it is their responsibility to factor that into their equation. It's not simply a matter of, you get the degree, you get the job, yay, I'm good. No. Time requires evolution. People must learn. People with disabilities are a large segment of the population, and if you can't be there for every single student, or at least give your best effort to do so, why call yourself an educator? But the truth is, that being said, people are getting more informed. People are becoming more aware of these things. Truth is, you can't factor in everything that might make a person unique. You just can't. There's too many variables in humanity. But if you keep an open mind and an open heart, you stand a much better chance of successfully reaching someone. And I love the work of the Turner Syndrome Society. They've always done such amazing and innovative things to reach out to those affected. It's not something you hear discussed openly as much as probably it should be, but it is a matter that can and should be talked about. These people are entitled to live at their best as anyone else. Regardless of the disability, it has to be known that people, regardless of what makes them special, are people. Take away that one little factor, and there's no difference. The truth is, we're all but one flip of the cards away from that one little difference. So, my best advice, my friends, keep your minds open, keep your hearts open, and when you do reach out to the disability community, make sure it's something relatable and enjoyable, like the soccer tournament. I was really amazed to hear about that. There were a lot of new volunteers who made this year's event just fantastic. But, with volunteers, always room for one more. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.